mountains. We must not give up the fight. We must be like Moses. We've got to keep on trying. Canaan land is just inside.
Everyone, I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Tuesday night Bible teaching night. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad that everyone that's here is here. And we will, the title for tonight's teaching is Palm Sunday and the Palm Tree. So I'm going to take a close look at the Palm Tree that is connected with Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday is the day, it's the date we know from scriptures is the 10th of Nisan. And that's the day Jesus Christ made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, ending up 4 days later with his crucifixion and then his resurrection from the dead. It's a big week, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sin, and then 3 days later, rising from the dead to guarantee us eternal life. So with that, we'll go and say hello to, I've got three here with me, and Sister Sharon. Hello, Sister Sharon.
Well, good evening, Chaplain John. And you know I'm looking forward to it.
You know, I think just listening to you, Sister Sharon, here through, I'm just going to say lately, you've been really blessed one teaching after another from me and Pastor Fred. You've been really, really blessed.
Oh, yes. I have really enjoying the teachings and the preachings and what we're learning is, I am enjoying it.
Yes. Yes. Okay. How'd your day go?
Oh, my day? Yeah. Pretty good, but kind of a lazy day and everything. So, but other than that, it went pretty good.
Okay. All right. And then we have an unknown caller, which I hope is Gigi and Randy. Okay. Gigi.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. Thank you.
Could I say unknown callers or treat you as one unit, unknown caller?
I don't know. Unknowns? Maybe unknowns with an S.
All right. I want to be proper. I want to be respectful here now. So, hey, yes, now listen.
I think if you call us the unknowns.
All right. Now, I went searching through my archives, and I did find that I put it in the videos section. We're all
Oh,
the
okay.
yeah, and I did find it. And wait till you see the palm trees in the Lord's house in Ezekiel 40 through 45. There, wait till you see it. And this is really, it's about a 20-minute video, and not all of it is about it, it's about the millennial reign and that. But wow, what a job they did on the Lord's house. Beautiful. And there's palm trees all over the place. So.
Yes. If you don't mind, I think what we're going to do is after you start, we're going to go to Rumble to watch it. So
okay.
We'll disconnect from here, but
oh,
then
that's
we'll
fine.
Come back on.
Oh, and that's fine.
Is that
yeah.
okay?
Yeah, that's
yeah.
fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And folks, I am not exaggerating. It's eye popping. The video I'm going to show you. It is absolutely eye popping. Now, of course, this is an artist's rendition, and I don't know if the amount of palm trees they have is factual or not, but they're all over the millennial temple, the Lord's house, and the Lord loves the palm tree, folks, and the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Okay, Sister Kathy.
Yes, I have a message from the inimitable Jerry in Canada, and she said, give her best to everyone, Gigi, Randy, Sharon, everybody, and let you know how much she appreciates you. So I told her I would.
Well, that's very nice.
It was very nice.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Yes,
and are you ready for the palm trees?
I'm ready for the palm trees.
Okay. And then we have Sister Rita.
Hello, Chaplain John. And hello to everyone.
Okay.
Hi.
All right. Now, you get ready to see the palm trees there in the Millennial Temple, or the Millennial House, the Lord's House. Okay. All
okay.
right. Let's hang on here for a second. Okay, we're ready to go. Hey, anyone seen Charles lately? Sister Kathy, have you seen Brother Charles?
No, I have not. It's been, I think, last Friday was the last time I heard from him.
Okay. All right. Hopefully he'll be back soon.
Yeah.
Right, let me get over and get the PowerPoint. There it is. Well, I don't know if I opened up with that or not. Let me go back and just show you. All right, this is the title. Psalm 12:2. Also, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. My contact information. All right, we're going to lead off with Palm Sunday triumphal entry. Now, well, the three Gospels, Luke, as I studied it, I didn't pick up what Luke was talking about the triumphal entry, but Matthew, Mark, and John do. And this is the 10th of Nisan, and this is the same day, and we'll get into this, this is the same day in Exodus 12, verse 3, where the Lord calls for Israel to get the lamb for Passover. So this week, with the Lord's entry on the Nisan 10, is setting the stage for his death 4 days later, and then his resurrection 7 days later. So let's look at Matthew and Mark here. Matthew 21:8. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. So they spread them in the way. And it says trees. It doesn't tell you what type of trees. Mark 11:8. And many spread their garments in the way. And others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. Again, trees. It doesn't mention what type of trees. John 12, verses 12 and 13. And the next day, much people that would come to the feast, because that feast is Passover, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees, there it is, palm trees, and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, Hosanna jumped out at me when I'm reading it there, and I said, what does Hosanna mean? I didn't really know. So here's what it means. Save. It means save. And it's done with a lot of emotion. And the Hebrew there shows it's a lot of emotion. So they took, going back to John, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, bless, save us, save us. Blessed is the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. So they were recognizing that Jesus was king, but in context and everything that happened, political king, not saving them from their sin. So Hosanna was save us, and in the context was save us from Rome. That's what they were looking for, a political savior. So the king, to us, the King of Israel has a much different connotation that the people had back there when the Lord was making his triumphal entry. Now, hold on here for a second. Okay. Now, there was a massive crowd in Jerusalem at this time. And it says, when you read the context of what was going on, they were well aware that the Lord had raised Lazarus from the dead. And it spread like wildfire. So it was one thing that energized them here now was Lazarus had been raised from the dead. And plus they had heard, or maybe many seen, the mighty miracles that he had done all through 3.5 years, all throughout Israel. So again, they were looking for a savior from Rome. They wanted to be saved from the Roman Empire. And they were not looking for a savior from their sin. So as I mentioned already, Nisan 10 is the beginning of, it's found in Exodus 12:3. And it's the beginning of the Passover program, and it starts with the people getting a lamb and bringing it into their home. And the lamb was inspected for 4 days. And during for 4 days after, when the Lord's triumphant entry, he was, I'm going to say, sort of inspected by the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the lawyers. Now, if you look and follow this in scripture, what I'm doing here is I just want to teach a little basics about his entry, and then go over to the palm tree, which the Bible describes was a part of his triumphant entry. So the Pharisees asked the Lord questions trying to trap him into like a lie or sin. The Sadducees did the same along with the lawyers. So after a certain time, they left him alone. It says that in scriptures because he was so precise in his answers and they couldn't trick him. So they left the Lord alone. He was like tested, just like the lamb in Exodus was examined to make sure there was no blemishes or impurities or whatever they examined it for. So the Pharisees, Sadducees, and lawyers examined the Lord. They tested him, and he passed it. And then it ended. There was no more contact with them with the Lord because he silenced them. He silenced them. So that was what's going on with the triumphal entry. So now it's no accident that they spread palm trees on the ground, and no doubt they were waving them at him. So here's a date palm tree grove, and the palm tree that is mentioned is the date palm. It's a certain palm tree. So there it is, folks. These are like kind of magnificent trees. They're straight as an arrow, and I'll get into all of that. I don't want to get into it right now, but I'll put it all together. How special the date palms. But this is the tree that the Lord loved. He really does. Now, he's the creator, so he created this special. It's like his special tree fruit. And this is what he has all over the Temple of Solomon and his house during the millennial reign. But they are magnificent looking. Now, why the date palm has such meaning? It was used in the Feast of Tabernacles when Israel left slavery in Egypt and looked to the Promised Land, liberation and victory. Because it has the use of the palm tree, and that has meaning. Used in the final harvest of the year, joy, excitement, and it's also used in connection with kings. Tabernacles is the last feast and points to eternity. It's even used in heaven to worship before the Lord. So I'll show you that shortly. All right. Now here is the Feast of Tabernacles in Scripture. Also in the 15th day, this is Leviticus 23:39. Also in the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep the feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. Now verse 40. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees. This is very important. Because goodly means magnificent. Ornament or splendor. And then, so it says, boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. So the palm tree is directly connected with magnificence and rejoicing before the Lord. So it's goodly trees, branches of palm trees, magnificence, and connected with joy. So right there in the seventh feast. Now I'm thinking here, going through my mind, the first fruits, barley was used, but not on Passover. Food was used on Passover. On Pentecost, I don't think anything was used. Trumpets, I don't think anything was used. Now, of course, Yom Kippur, lamb and goats were used. The bullock was used. And here, so as far as trees, I think the palm tree is the only one that's used, mentioned by name, in any of the seven feasts of Israel. Now, God loves the palm tree. There it is. I caught a erect one straight up, and you see those brown, what would you call them? There's just a brownness there on the top of the tree. That's the fruit. The fruit hangs from the top of the tree in these big, like vines are coming into my clusters. That's the word, clusters. They're huge, and I'm going to get into that. So there's the magnificent date palm, as the Lord describes it. Now, Solomon's temple, the palm tree is found six times. And I believe it's even in the Holy of Holies. So let's look at 1 Kings 6:29. And he carved all the walls of the house round about, all the walls of the house round about, with carved figures of cherubims and palm trees and open flowers within and without. So palm trees surrounded the place where the Lord's glory dwelled. Now, the Messiah's temple is found 10 times. And here's one of the scriptures. And there were seven steps to go up into it. That's going into the Lord's house. And the arches thereof were before them. And it had palm trees on one side and on the other, on the other side, upon the posts thereof. So as you came in to the Lord's house there, through a post, and on the posts were palm trees, and it looks like they also on the arches there, as you were going in, it had many palm trees on it. So the palm tree there represents the blessings and favor of God and the victory of the righteous. Now, I guess this is the place to show the video, let me show it. There we go. All right. Ezekiel's temple, vision 3D. All right. It's 20 something minutes, and I think I'll show, I think the first minute, 10 minutes is loaded with, palm trees all over the place. But the beauty of it and the gold that is in it and the beauty, the way it's designed and all. So I may go and stop, but we'll do the first 10 minutes. So here we go. Ezekiel's temple. And the Lord loves the palm trees, folks. Can't get enough of them.
Why hasn't Ezekiel's temple ever been built? God revealed the plans for this great temple thousands of years ago. But no one has ever tried to build it. Imagine the temple compound in Jerusalem, so massive it could hold an entire city. This is the story of Ezekiel's temple. In Ezekiel's vision, there are nine whole chapters that describe...
Yeah, see the palm trees here? So when you're from a distance... When you're coming up to look at the temple or the Lord's house, what do you see from a distance? It's just not stone, and that you see these like golden, I don't know if they are of gold or not, but they're golden colored palm trees from a distance.
Describe in incredible detail about this temple.
There you go. There's the palm trees. Oh, there they are right on the doors. There's the archway, and there's the big palm trees on either side of the archway and then on the doors. You know, again, this is an artist's rendition. So I don't know if there are this many palm trees or not, but certainly when you read it, I mean, the Lord's house is going to have a lot of palm trees in it.
It's the 6th century before Christ, and the nation of Judah is shattered. Its people are exiled in Babylon, and amidst this despair, the prophet Ezekiel receives a breathtaking vision, a temple of unimaginable scale and grandeur.
Always covered with palm trees.
Unlike anything ever seen before in Israel. God explains in incredible detail exactly what Ezekiel's temple should look like.
And I guess what they figured is putting live palm trees here towards the entrance into the temple.
Being built. Models and blueprints have been made to try to comprehend Ezekiel's temple. But what is it for? A divine city? An end-time masterpiece? The seat of Messiah? Or something even more mysterious? This vision wasn't a mere renovation of Solomon's temple. This was something entirely new, a complex so vast it dwarfed even the city of Jerusalem itself. Ezekiel's temple itself is reasonably small. It's about the same size as Herod's temple, but the outside of the temple is vast. There's this massive, huge plain of space. Imagine massive walls stretching across Jerusalem, tremendous gates oriented to the cardinal directions, and courtyards designed for vast gatherings. And Ezekiel's description is overwhelming in its precision. There's no mistaking the plan. It's a colossal design. Is it merely a matter of aesthetics, or is there a deeper meaning? Ezekiel's temple will serve as the centerpiece of the political and religious life of the world. It will be called the Millennial Temple. In the vision, this new temple is immense and overpowering, with multiple courts, gates, and chambers. The layout is painstakingly comprehensive, with a focus on order and symmetry. If you walked around Jerusalem today, from the Temple Mount, the Muslim Quarter, the Armenian Quarter, the Jewish Quarter, all of that area would be a part of the massive space outside of Ezekiel's temple. So why has this never been built? Because Jerusalem would have to be completely transformed to build it. And that's what the Battle of Armageddon is going to do. It's going to transform Jerusalem to such an extent that the space that is needed to build Ezekiel's temple will be there. In Ezekiel's vision, he sees a river flowing from the temple itself. The river flows east, becoming deeper as it goes, and eventually empties into the Dead Sea, making its salt water fresh and suitable for fishing, bringing life and hope. And water will also flow to the Mediterranean from the temple, bringing an abundance of water to Israel. Something this river is spiritual, God's presence flowing. Others see it as a promise of an abundance of fertility and life-giving water flowing through Israel. All of those prophecies from the Bible that talk about the reign of Messiah still have to be fulfilled on earth. God did not give these prophecies to then say they're no longer important. The three major gatehouses into the complex are very large, near to 100 feet tall, 42 feet wide, and just below 83 feet long. This temple is very different from Solomon's and Herod's temples, and traditional Jewish sources say that Ezekiel's temple was never built because the conditions for building it, a complete and lasting redemption, were never met in Jewish thinking.
We're on our filming adventure of ancient Israel and modern Israel. We're trying as much as possible to walk on foot, which means yesterday we did 9 miles walking. Wonderful to do it.
Having a great time. Lots of walking, seeing so many sights.
We're walking down the Kidron Valley now, and there's a beautiful pathway that goes between it. We're walking up to Temple Mount, coming out of the Kidron Valley. Christ and his disciples, and they would have taken a path like this. Obviously, it's been developed now with steps. We're not really sure where the old path was. Some scholars think that there was actually a bridge from the Golden Gate there all the way to the Mount of Olives. More likely they were just pathways.
Many Jewish believers say that Ezekiel's temple is a prophecy for the future, to be built in the Messianic era. Others say it's symbolic and spiritual. Ezekiel's temple has never been built because it has an end-time purpose to be fulfilled. And we will see that when Christ returns to Jerusalem to fulfill all the messianic prophecies of a reign of peace and prosperity on the earth.
When Herod's temple fell in AD 70,
Christians began to think of the temple in Jerusalem not as a physical structure, but as a spiritual symbol. Jesus himself spoke of his body as the temple. The Apostle Paul echoed this, describing believers as living stones in a spiritual house. Therefore, the focus for the next 2,000 years shifted from a physical structure to a living, breathing community of Christ's church. But biblical prophecy also hints at an Antichrist figure occupying a third temple, creating, in the words of Jesus, an abomination of desolation. The third temple of Jerusalem, which they are planning right now, looks like Herod's temple. Now, Ezekiel's temple is completely different from all the temples that have ever existed, simply because of its massive size. As religious Jews tried to build the third temple in Jerusalem, drawing upon Herod's plans as inspiration, Christians are turning to Jesus' words in the book of Revelation, where Christ tells John not to measure the outer court of the temple because it was given to the Gentiles to be trampled, which fulfills another ancient prophecy by Daniel. When the prophecies are fulfilled concerning the rising of a third temple and its destruction, as Jesus returns to defeat Antichrist, a new administrative center will be needed to govern the world during Christ's reign on earth. Christ is going to rule and reign on earth for 1,000 years, and the kings of the earth will come to Messiah in Jerusalem and submit to his rule, and it will be a rule of peace. The lion and lamb will dwell together. 6 times in the book of Revelation, 1,000-year reign is mentioned, saying, "And they came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So imagine the kings and the queens and the prime ministers and presidents of planet Earth come to the vast Ezekiel's temple to worship the Lord and ask for his guidance on what needs to be done to keep this time of peace and prosperity. In the Psalms, God says, "You are my son, ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession." And Jesus said this to his disciples, "You who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." To have the ambassadors of the world coming to Jerusalem with all of the billions of people that there are, you need this vast space. So Ezekiel foresaw the enormous growth of population on planet Earth. He saw that the nations would come to Jerusalem, millions of people coming to worship Christ. There'll have to be this vast space. During this period, called the millennial reign, many great and unfulfilled biblical prophecies about the reign of a great Messiah on earth will come to pass. Zechariah said, "Then the survivors from all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, and the Lord will be King over the whole earth." Now, if you look at the temple buildings itself, it would fit on the Temple Mount now, but there's this vast space outside of that temple area which could fit 18,000 homes. Millions of people could stand there, and it's all flat.
All right. We'll cut it off here. You did see plenty of palm trees in the Lord's house there. Okay. So there we saw it. It's the first time I've ever seen anything like that with the gold, all that gold. And then the palm trees all over the place. Everywhere you look is palm trees. So that's what I said, folks, that the Lord has something special. There's something special about the palm trees that he really, really, really likes. And remember this connection between the righteous those that are righteous in the Lord, and the palm tree. So let's continue and get deep into the palm tree. All right, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Psalm 92, verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, and he shall grow like the cedar, like a cedar in Lebanon. Now, flourish there means to bud, bloom, and to spread. So it's like a plant that kind of goes wild and flourishes in an area. And then we, verse 13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Those that be planted, well, the context here is the God's people being like a palm tree. So what's going to be planted in the house of the Lord there, in the courts of our God? The palm tree. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. That's still referring back to the palm tree, flourishing like the palm tree. Verse 14. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be flat, fat, and flourishing. Now, fat there, it's figuratively rich and fertile. Rich and fertile. So God's saying that the whole thing there is connected with the palm tree, and that even in old age, we can be rich and fertile for the Lord. So let's continue here about what's going on with the palm tree. All right. The life, and I'm specifically going for the date palm tree, because that's what the Bible's talking about. There are different species of the palm tree. The life of the palm tree is unique. Palm trees don't grow outward from the bark like other trees. So you may not realize it, like those rings that grow on trees, that's the tree growing like kind of outward. You can kill a tree by, it's called barking it. You took like a chainsaw and put it around the bark of the tree, not too deep. I think all you'd have to go is maybe, I'm guessing 2 inches, that tree would die because the life of it is right out there by the bark. Instead, its growth, this is the palm tree, comes from the center of the trunk. All the new leaves and fruit grow from the heart of the tree and not the edges. Now remember, we're like the palm tree in the Lord's eye. So our life is not supposed to be superficial on the outside. It's supposed to be deep within us, within our core being. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. He that believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly, out of his heart, shall flow rivers of living water. Living water comes from our belly, our innermost being. As the tree matures, its outer layers of bark can become worn or even die off. But the inner heart of the tree, the center, remains alive and vital. So we can get old, folks, and you know, old age can wear and tear on us and this and that, but with the palm tree, the extremities can fall off, but the tree remains alive and vital in old age. And we should remain alive and vital in old age because of the inner being, our innermost being. We have the Holy Spirit and we have life eternal in there. The tree continues to grow from that place of life at the core. So we should be continuing to grow no matter how much old age, continue to grow because of our inner being. It's not on the surface like regular trees, but it's deep. That the palm tree has life deep within it. And that's directly connected to us. John 15:8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Now, the typical lifespan of the palm tree there, on the far end of it, is 100 to 120 years. Some trees can live real long, but not most. Fruit bearing. The palm tree will bear fruit for 60 to 80 years. Amazing, folks. See, in old age, bear much fruit. And here's what's unique about it, is the fruit is sweeter the older. Now, when I moved into my house there many years ago in Pennsylvania, they had apple trees, pear trees, and I'm trying to, and what else was there? There was another tree, peach. The pear tree, when we moved into the house, really didn't do too good. So it wasn't too long after that. Now, we lived there for 25, 30 years. 80, yeah, 30 years. So sometime early on, the pear tree died. And then there were two apple trees, big apple trees. And one of them continued to give fruit, but the other one, not much apples would come on it. And then they got all shriveled up. And then the tree started to die. So little by little, I was taking down big parts of the tree. Now, the other one lasts longer, but the same thing happened. And then the pear, the apple, and the peach. The peach tree gave good fruit, and then it stopped. And so what I wanted to do, now it takes a while for trees to grow, but I bought some pear trees and planted them. None of them took. So after a period of time, I had no fruit in the backyard. They had grapevines, and it was really nice there in the fall, like the end of August. There, you could smell the grapes because they were ripe on the vine, and we would go out and pluck them. Cut the grapevines down—not the grapevines, but the bunch. And eventually that dried up too. So I did plant grapevines, and to the best, I'm going to have to ask my wife. I'm almost sure of this. To the best of my recollection, I planted, I'm going to say about 4 or 5 vines. They grew, and I put up fencing like for them to grow on, and we didn't get any fruit. No grapes. So I struck out there on my property, although my wife had a good-sized garden. We always had plenty of vegetables and that from the garden, and she planted a lot of flowers all around. We had nice flowers. But anyways, the palm tree is not like that. Now, the palm tree, 80 years old, and still for 80 years it's giving fruit. 80 years. Now, it produces up to 300 pounds of dates every year, and that adds up to 20,000 dates. That's pretty powerful there. I mean, that's quite the 20,000. There are male and female date palms. Only females bear fruit, but only if pollinated by a male. So the males and females have to grow close, and the females get pollinated to produce fruit. Now, it grows straight upward. You saw those pictures, tall and unbending, just like the righteous who don't bend to the corrupt world. Because I'm looking for these analogies between the palm trees and us. Now, what's also very interesting in it, the palm tree thrives in the desert. and it's drawing water. Its roots go way, way down, and that's where it draws water from its deep, deep, deep roots. What a picture for us. You know, we should have deep, deep, deep roots in the Lord. And no matter, spiritually speaking, if we're living in a desert, we can survive because of our deep, deep roots. Also, those deep roots protect the trees during high winds. There's hurricanes and all that don't really uproot the palm trees. And here's something that's interesting. There can be like a fire, and a fire can scar and burn the outside of the palm tree, but it will not kill it, because it's not like a regular tree where the life is out where the bark is. The inner core of the palm tree where the life is, that's what protects it from like fire. That inner life. So what a picture of us. The inner life, we can thrive at any time, any place. The tree grows straight as an arrow upward, produces 20,000 dates a year. No matter how old the tree gets, the fruit gets sweeter and older. Where every other tree, I don't know of another tree that as it gets old, as I told you, the big two apple trees we had. Wait, we did have two trees that I planted, and they produced a tremendous amount of berries. The squirrels would come, the birds would come, the chickens. We had chickens there at that time. They would come. The berries would all fall on the ground. I forget what berries they were. Yeah, there you go. And we had a chestnut tree that produced a lot of chestnuts. But those berry trees, can't remember what type of berries those were. But anyways, back to the palm tree. It's the Lord considers it magnificent. It's virtually indestructible, naturally speaking. It'll bear fruit way into the old age. Can produce 300 pounds, 20,000 dates a year. The roots grow deep, deep, deep into the earth, which protects it from drought, extremely hot weather. So those are the characteristics. And John 15:8 says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." So according to the palm tree, even on our old age, we still have the power from the life of the Holy Spirit in us to bear much fruit for the Lord. Now, here is the cluster from the palm tree of the dates. These clusters are big, and they surround all around the tree. So that's what the fruit of the date palm tree looks like. John 15:16. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." Now, everything about the palm tree can be used. So it's like us. We should be sold out life to the Lord to be used of him. Everything about us, be ready to be used by the Lord. So with the pine tree, the leaves are for, they use them for shade, roofing, and baskets. The trunk, timber, and for building. Fruit, food, and sweetness. Even the sap of the tree can be turned into wine or syrup. So the pine tree can be completely used, and that's how the Lord wants us. To be sold out to him, and every part of us to be used by the Lord. All right. So be like the date palm. Stand tall, bear fruit, flourish in heat and harsh conditions. Be useful in every part. live close to his presence. That's the palm tree in the Holy of Holies. So, just a summary here. Life is in the core of the tree. It lives to be 100 plus, grows to 75 feet, deep root system, very resilient, thrives in the desert or rainy area, bears fruit into old age, very sweet, all season long, powerhouse of nutrition, the harvest, 300 pounds. Now, I'll close with this. The heavenly feast of tabernacles will be in heaven. Revelation 7:9. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, that's the throne of God, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and look at this, and have palms in their hands. That's the direct tie back right to the Feast of Tabernacles in Leviticus 23. So I can't think of anything else like plant life that's mentioned in the book of Revelation. But there's the palm tree right there. The people, and it says from people from every tongue, from all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues stood before the Lord, before the throne and before the Lamb, all having palms in their hands. The Lord loves the palms. He likes the people in front of him with palms in their hand. I'm telling you, the Lord really loves the palm tree. And cried out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And one of these elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which have came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he sitteth on the throne, shall dwell among them. Is it possible eternity is a never-ending feast of tabernacles with palms? I think so. All right, that concludes the teaching on Palm Sunday and the palm tree. So it's no accident that the palm tree, which the Lord loves so much, he had the people spread that out in front of him, that he walked as the, presenting himself as the Messiah of Israel, that he walked into the city on palm trees. No accident. The other thing that I just want to add here in closing, the donkey, the Lord came in on the donkey. Now, the donkeys, we might not realize that today, but the donkey is a beast of burden, and kings do not ride on donkeys. Servants do. Slaves do. Workers do. Kings ride in on horses. So the Lord coming in on a donkey was like astonishing. I'm sure the Pharisees and the Sadducees and them seeing the Lord coming in on a donkey was like astonishing to them, as he was coming in and the people were referring to him as like a king. So that's his first coming, in on a donkey. But his second coming, he's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's coming in on a horse. So there's the two comings of Christ. The first, lowly, with salvation upon a donkey. And the second, he's coming as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to rule over, slay all the wicked, set up his kingdom on earth, and rule and reign for 1,000 years. Then we go into eternity. Okay, so let's see if there's any questions or comments. Plus, I thought that that movie there was excellent. So let me see. Here you go. I got the palm tree here. Let's see if I can get it up just by itself. I'm going to have to just let that go. All right. Let's see now. Any questions, any comments? You can call in. And we got Sister Sharon first. And then I'll just take you in the order that you came.
Yeah. I really, of course, enjoyed tonight. And just being able to look at how straight and
magnificent.
I mean, wow, straight up and down, and that's it.
That's how we are, straight. No bending and twisting to the world. We stay straight in this world, like growing up to heaven.
Yes, I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. You know, that, and there's nothing all the way up until you get to the top, and then it has the branches and stuff. And, I'm used to orchard trees and stuff, and these are like two totally different things.
Right, right. Now, your apple trees, Mr. Sharon, how many years could you get out of the apple tree with good fruit?
Okay, with the fruit, well, I can tell you this. I know that some of the older trees, when I was a kid, when my dad was working, and he said that they would live a good 90 years. But a lot of the fruit trees, apple trees in particular, they never even would produce fruit, those big ones, for maybe 15, 20 years before they'd have a good crop and stuff. So I'm putting a lot of time into and being hopeful that the wind didn't blow them all down.
Okay. What did you think of all the palm trees in the Lord's house there?
All the carvings and everything.
Yeah.
I love the carving. There's nothing more beautiful than those carvings. I could just imagine somebody being there and doing those carvings and the time it took for them to get it right in their mind. So it's beautiful, beautiful.
Now, we're like God. We're made in his image and likeness. It's marred by sin, but we're in his image and likeness. Now, in my house, or my particular room here, I have things up on my wall, like the Lord has of palm trees, right? So I'm looking at it here, and I have like a cross made of iron that someone sent to me. Maybe I'll show it to you. It's kind of unique. Someone from New Mexico sent it to me, and it's the combination of iron and barbed wire. So hang on. Let me get it, and I'll show it to you.
Hopefully we'll be able to see it.
I have had this for years and years and years, and I know it came from New Mexico, but if you can see it, let me know when you can see it. Well, I should put other.
Okay. I know I haven't been. Rumble's been really messy tonight and stuff. And right now, Facebook isn't changing. There you are on Facebook. Okay, I see you now.
Can you see it?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I can. That's neat looking.
Gigi and Randy, can you see it? They may have left. No, they can't.
No, we're here.
Okay.
We had problems watching the film, so it kept stopping. So we're back on, but okay. I can't see it.
Did you get to see any of the palm trees there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's beautiful.
Okay.
Beautiful. Thank you.
So this here is barbed wire around the top here, and this is metal that they welded together. I don't know what the metal is of. And then that's the Star of David here. So anyways, I have things up like this in my office here. And over to my right, I have a bunch of paintings. I'm a not paintings, but not original. And I'm a big Civil War buff, and I spent a lot of time at Gettysburg. And I followed, with my Irish background, I followed the one of the top brigades in the Union Army was the Irish Brigade. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I've got 8 pictures there, and I have some other memorabilia over pointing over that way. So my space here is kind of the Irish Brigade, some family pictures, and things of the Lord, like I just showed you. That's what's in my heart. So if it was something else, if it wasn't things of the Lord in my heart, I wouldn't have them up. I'd have something else up. Who knows? So you decorate your house with things that sort of match your inner being. So the Lord had cherubims and palm trees. So that's why the Lord's the creator, and he created the palm trees special for what he would like. And then he put it up in the temple, Solomon's temple. He had Solomon put it up, and then his house in Ezekiel 40 through 40. So it's his house. I like that rather than temple. His house, and it's loaded with palm trees all over the place. So the Lord loves the palm tree, and it says the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Isn't that beautiful, Sister Sharon?
Oh, wonderful.
All right. So when we see the palm trees and all the attributes of it, that's what God wants us to match. Sister Kathy, any comments?
Yeah, it sounds like God has a palm obsession.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
And he identifies with it because it's just like he is. He's all that to us. And
yes.
Oh, my goodness,
yes.
He is awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I say he has a thing for it. Yeah, but right? I mean, I'm sure in your house there, well, you had your house, now you're in an apartment. I don't know if you decorated the apartment or not. But your house, I'm sure that you had things there that you liked. You related to
them.
They, you know,
they're
right?
Dear to you.
Dear to you. Right, exactly. Yeah. So the Lord has his house. Doesn't he say, call it my house?
Yes, he does.
So he loves the palm tree.
He sure does. That is so interesting.
Maybe when we go to the millennial reign there and we're on the temple grounds, maybe the Lord will let us plant a couple palm trees for him, you know, like kind of like gifts, you know, come and plant palm trees.
We know you love palm trees. Here's one.
Here,
take
Lord.
Another one.
Yeah, here, Lord. And we know you can't resist. We know you can't resist. You have no willpower over the palm tree. So here, we're gonna fill your holy ground around your house there with palm trees.
That would be awesome.
But look, we're made in his image and likeness. So our house is going to be decorated to match what interests us. Like me, I have the Civil War memorabilia light. That's not for everybody, but it's for me.
Right.
So with the Lord, it's the palm tree. It's amazing. So we found like a weakness.
Yeah.
A weakness in God, the palm tree.
Yeah, we can say, Lord, I envision myself as a palm tree. I know you love me.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Sister Rita, what do you think about the palm tree and the Lord?
Oh, it's very interesting to hear about the palm tree. I don't know. I think it's very interesting.
Yes. Yeah. And I did get a tremendous response Sunday when I finished. It was very, very touching the way the people responded.
Sounds good. Well,
So,
that's good.
I was very, very blessed. I remember them saying the palm tree. Who'd ever think of this? I guess you can read right over Psalm 92 about the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree and not pass any remarks. Okay, Sister Rita. Now, Gigi and Randy, any comments?
Well, this is very interesting because we, believe it or not, here we are in the desert and there are palm trees everywhere. I mean, gigantic palm trees everywhere. And I can't figure out why they're here, but they are. So it's fascinating to know about the palm trees that, well, these aren't date palms. These are just palm trees. But it is interesting how they can stand up to incredible wind. Well, we can have 60, 70 mile an hour winds,
Did you
and they
ever
don't break.
see? Did you ever see like? I'm sure everybody has. Maybe you didn't notice, but in Florida, there'll be a hurricane. They can have some really powerful hurricanes, and the news reporters out there like an idiot in these 110, 20 mile an hour winds. And the trees, the palm trees, are like bent over with like the leaves hitting the ground.
Yeah.
And they don't get uprooted. Did you ever notice that?
Yeah, it's quite incredible to see something like that. We did live in a different climate where there were date palms, and they were it's beautiful.
But
But
we also lived where there was palm oil trees.
yeah, palm oil and date palms, and I think they're called sugar palms. Yeah, they're called sugar palms. So there's all these different palm trees, but the ones that are the Millennial Temple, those are date palms, right?
Right. Yeah. The word that in
Yeah.
Hebrew for the palm there is the date palm.
Okay.
Now,
Yeah, that's very
when
neat.
you were living in these other nations there, did you see them harvest the date palms?
Yes, because they had date palms and they had coconut palms, and they actually used monkeys, believe it or not.
Well, that's what I
They
wanted to
sent the
know.
monkey.
How did they get up to the
Yeah.
top of those big trees there and harvest them?
Yeah, they didn't. They trained monkeys. They had little monkeys, and the monkey, they trained them to climb up, and in some cases they had like I can't say it's like a sack, but something sort of akin to a sack. But with the coconuts, they had something spread on the ground, and then the monkeys would drop them and they would collect them. Because
Why
the, you know,
hasn't
the coconut
Ezekiel's
seed.
temple ever been built?
Hang on here. I'm trying to. Go ahead.
Yeah, so with the date palms, like I said, they had, very hard to describe this, but it was something that the monkey could either drop down from the tree. Monkeys are smart. And so they train them to do all this harvesting
Okay.
because coconuts are huge. Yeah, I mean, we don't see that here, but coconuts are green and huge. And the coconut that we see is on the inside. But the date palms, if I remember correctly, it's like a whole grouping of them. It's like a massive grouping of them. Now, I don't know if that means they're ripe or not ripe. I'll have to look that up. But yeah, it's beautiful. Those are beautiful, but they're not gigantic like these. They're not so tall.
Because I was
But it's
wondering
that's very
if
interesting.
those trees are up 75, 80 feet and the fruit that is right on the very, like, hanging from the top of it, how did you, and they seem to be prickly, the outside of those palm trees seem to be prickly. Now, you mentioned the coconut tree there.
Yeah, it's a coconut palm tree. Yeah.
Yeah. More people die from those trees than I think all others combined, because they might be underneath those coconut trees and one coconut lets go and hits people in the head, fractures the skull and kill them on the spot.
Yeah, there's actually quite a lot of trees near the equator, especially Southeast Asia. They have quite a few trees that have fruit that's not only gigantic, but it has pointed conical. It's super heavy, and they have, and we know somebody whose dad was killed by one of those trees.
Wow.
It fell on him.
Well, now,
John?
Yeah.
Yes, Randy.
We were in a place called Port Dickson, and the monkeys were throwing coconuts at people. This wasn't a harvest. This was to harass the people or whatever. And there were signs that said, don't park under the coconut trees.
Yeah. Our pastor was with us, and he said, I think we ought to move the car. They're harassing the monkeys, and it's going to get nasty.
And in the same place, there was a monkey that attacked Gina because the monkey thought Gina had got between her.
I got between the mama and the baby, and I didn't know it. I had to run from a monkey.
Well, I'm wondering if big bunches of bananas could kill people too if they ever break loose.
Well, it depends. They have taller banana trees and smaller, because we only see like two or three types of bananas, but there's literally hundreds of kinds of bananas.
Okay. All right.
The worst thing was durian.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And I have one question for you. Do you have on your website that original film that we saw, which was the diorama? And it was the circulating millennial temple.
If I have it, it should be under the teaching I have with Ezekiel 40 through, I think I do.
Oh. Okay, I'm going to go back and look, because I've never been able to find that. And that was amazing, because it shows the water.
Right.
And it shows the blood on the doors and all of, that was so instructive.
The water,
I remember that.
The water and the blood. Right?
Yes. Right.
It's a witness, the water and the blood. And I don't, there isn't much teaching about Ezekiel 40 through 40, like, well, 40 through the 40s. I've only read one book on it that was pretty good, but I don't remember them talking about the water and the blood. John 5, verses, 8, verse 8 there, the water and the blood bear witness on the earth, the spirit and the water and the blood. But there's that connection right in Ezekiel, the water and the blood. When people
the crucifixion too. The crucifixion, there was water and blood.
Right. That's what's bearing witness.
But I have to say, that was a long time ago. And I had been asking people those questions about why is there blood and water in the temple there? Nobody knew. You answered the question.
Yeah.
It was you who answered my question that I had been asking for a long time. So thank you very much.
But, see, what's very interesting, though, when people approach the temple, the Lord's house in the millennial reign, one of the first things they're going to see is the water. Because, you'll see the walls from a distance and all. But the water is flowing from the temple. And it ends up going in two directions. East into the Dead Sea and west into the Mediterranean Sea. And then when you get inside the temple, the water inside the house, the water is flowing from underneath the throne. And it's coming out. So everyone that comes to the inner court, they'll see the water. And then what also will they see? you'll see the blood on the gate when they're coming in, and they will see the blood when they look to where the Lord is seated there, and they have to look. There's two big pillars of support, and the blood is on those two pillars. So they have to look through the blood to see Christ. So the outstanding thing there in the millennial reign there with the temple is the water and the blood.
Yes. That would be nice if you did that teaching again, with that film.
Yeah.
You know, I've been begging for years to do that.
All right. And Michael is here. Michael's here from New Jersey. Hello, Michael. Okay, Michael's just watching. Anyways, hello, Michael. God bless you. Well, I enjoyed this a lot, tying it all together about the palm tree and palms and Palm Sunday, and the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. So, I really enjoyed it. So at this point, I think we'll have prayer and music time. Do I hear an amen on that, Sister Kathy?
Amen on that. Prayer, music, go.
All right. Lead us off.
Okay, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for this day. Thank you, God, that you are God, and beside you there is no other. Thank you, God, that you are amazing, and your love for us is only exceeded by the palm tree. So thank you, God, that you truly, truly, truly love humanity. But you do favor some things. You have a likeness for some things, and we just need to know that. And we are so honored and blessed to be able to say, for all that you created, the palm tree is all that's in that temple, and it covers it. And there's some reason for that. So we just are entranced in your likeness and your image and your desire and your love and your acceptance. And Father, we want to know you more. We want to be more like you. We want to desire the things that you love. And we're just in awe and amazement, just simply overwhelmed by your love and your desires. So thank you, God, that you lead and guide us into that. You open the eyes of our understanding. You awaken our intensity and our curiosity. And thank you for that. Stir us, Lord. Stir us to the deepest level that we can be, and awaken us to the greatest awe and inspired amazement that we can have. And right here in the morning, Lord, it's going to be the 17th of Nisan, the day you were crucified, Jesus, and that you woke up and came up and resurrected. Yes, God, resurrected from the dead, that you came to die for us. You loved us so much that you knew it was going to take every ounce of blood in you, but you shed it. You gave it. You took the stripes. You took the heckles and the everything for us. And in the morning when we wake up, it will be the day, the 17th of Nisan, that you were arisen and came out of the tomb. Oh, God, how awesome is that? And now, this year, in the White House, there's a faith-based office that has declared Holy Week as Holy Week and resurrection as new life and world-changing, which it was and it is and it always will be. Thank you, Lord, that you began this work in us and you will complete it until the day you come for us. And then it'll just be ongoing in the next dimension and the next level. So, Father, thank you. We just worship you in spirit and in truth. And we thank you for every good and perfect gift that you have given us. Lord, bless us to be a blessing. Help us, Lord, to help others. Awaken us to bring awareness and awakening to others. And thank you, God, that nothing is wasted and you don't needlessly afflict the sons of men, and you work all things together for our good. So, God, we love you, we trust you, we thank you, we honor you in spirit and in truth, and we just thank you for this teaching tonight. We thank you for how you open your word to us and pour out of your innermost being into our innermost being. So thank you, God. Bless Chaplain John. Bless him in everything he puts his hand to. Thank you for Nancy. Thank you, oh God, for everyone in chat, everyone in Facebook, on Dialpad and on X, and Lord, that we'll be watching. Thank you for hearing from Jerry tonight and just how blessed she was to be part of this fellowship, and help her with all her decisions. Help everyone on our prayer list, Lord. Just thank you for Holy Week here in my hometown. And thank you for all the people who have come to gather to worship you in spirit and in truth and have sweet fellowship one with another. God, we love you. We trust you. We lean on you and not on our understanding. We acknowledge you in all our ways, and you will direct our path. You are the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega. Lord, thank you for being you, and thank you for loving us. And bless us as we proceed through this life until you come for us very, very soon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, what song, Sister Kathy?
I'm going to say by Steve Brooks, "The Lord is Good."
Steve Brooks or Steve Brock?
I'm sorry, Steve Brock. I think I said that last time.
Yeah, I just have one posting by him.
Yep, that's all it takes.
That's true. All right, "The Lord is Good," Steve Brock.
His mercy endureth forever and ever to all generations. So I will stand up and sing praise, hallelujah, for I know the Lord is good. He reached down and touched me when I was so low. I could not get up or go down any further. My sins, which were many, He forgave and forgot them. Oh, I know the Lord is good. The Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever and ever to all generations. So I will stand up and sing praise, hallelujah, for I know the Lord is good.
I was sick in my body. I could not get well. The doctors have told all they could tell. In the great physician, he passed by my way. Oh, I know the Lord is good.
The Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever and ever to all generations. So I will stand up and sing praise, hallelujah, for I know the
you. A little, it seems short, but it wasn't.
I know it. I know it is way too short.
Yeah, well, that was very good. Now, what do you know about Steve Brock? Sister,
well, I saw him on PTL 100 years ago, and he was a happy person. I think he might be dead, but it wouldn't have been too long ago. But he is also a preacher and a musician.
Okay. Never heard of him.
Yeah.
Well, who's next now? We have Sister Sharon. What song would you like?
Yes. Okay. And when I'm done playing, I'd like to hear Don Moen, our Father. Okay. So, dear Father God, I just thank you so much for today. And it's been a wonderful day with a good amount of prayer time and just to be together with our prayer warrior friends. And I just thank you so much for this. And I thank you for people who want to pray and to hear prayer. And it's just so rewarding to be able to pray for other people. And I just pray that Eve's husband, Henry, is doing better and continues to do better. And stuff. I know that he will be seeing the doctor soon, but I just like to pray for him and for that family there, because it's very, very stressful to have somebody in pain like that. And I just want to just pray for them. And I like to pray for Kathy and all that she's doing to continue to help people hear about you and just to come to know you and stuff. It's just so important that we do this. And people might want to listen in the background and stuff, and that's okay. And nobody's said that we had to make people talk or anything like that, but it's just a joy to hear people's voices and to know that they are happy to be here and listening. And I know I enjoy listening to people pray very, very much. So I really do, dear Father God. And I am just so happy that I can come and listen to these studies and just the preachings and teachings and everything that Chaplain John does for you. And like the palm tree study, I know we all kind of jumped on it, wanted to hear it. And boy, we got to hear it and see your most beautiful, beautiful trees that you created, dear Father God. There is probably nothing more beautiful than those straight up tree shafts and those the tops of those palm trees, and also the temples. Those are gorgeous, beautiful, beautiful carvings of the palm trees. And somebody or groups of people took a lot of time to get that just right. And it's so beautiful to look at. And I thank you for getting it, people's imaginations to try to do that to your Father God. Something like that is not an easy task. But I just thank you, dear Father, that you had the right people at the right spot at the right time. And how beautiful is that, for sure. And what it would be so wonderful to be able to just to walk around there and to see them. It'd be just great. But I know that when we pass from this world, that we will most likely get to see all of that, and it will be blessed by being able to see it. And I just thank you again for that too, dear Father God. And I just want to ask for strength for our overseas pastors. I want to pray for protection, food, and water, and a place of shelter for everybody overseas and stuff as we continue to hear of people being massacred for their beliefs, dear Father God. But you knew that this would happen a long time ago, and we just need to be praying about this. And I'd like to just pray for everybody in the Middle East area, where they're having a lot of war movements and stuff, and there's a lot of bombings and stuff going on over there, and we just need to pray for everybody over there, and especially the little kids and stuff. I just think of those little tiny people just being terrified by the sounds that they hear and stuff. And I just want to pray that they are okay, dear Father God, and that they get through this okay. And I just thank you that you are, you're taking care of them. I know you are, and we all know you are, and we are so grateful for that. And I just like to thank you for Chaplain John, for his family, and especially Nancy and everybody that's right there in that area of Texas. And Pastor Dole, I'd like to pray for Pastor Dole, and that he continues to recover from his surgery. And for Dave Hauser also recovering from his surgery. And anybody else that we know that had to have surgery, we just want to pray that they are recovering and are getting through the pain okay. And I just want to thank you, dear Father God, for all that you've done for me. And you got me through this health skill that I've had. And I know I have a ways to go yet, but I am here where I can pray and I can give you the honor and the praise for everything. And I just thank you for that, dear Father God. And in your name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Here we go. Our Father. Song.
we've gathered here to pray. Hear our cry, oh Lord, we need your mercy and we need your grace today.
Yes, we do.
Hear us as we pray.
Sing it, our Father.
Thank you, Chaplain Sharon.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
Yeah,
absolutely wonderful.
I like to.
Whoops, I cut you off. I'm sorry. Sister Sharon,
okay.
How did prayer time go this morning?
Oh, we had a very good prayer time this morning, and I just was solid. It went before we knew it, the time was gone. It was gone and everything.
Okay.
But it was a very, very good prayer time. What I wanted to say is that Paula Jean has not been around today. I just wanted to pray that she's okay and everything,
okay.
And for everybody to keep her in mind.
All right. And if you can think of it, like on Tuesday morning when you're closing for prayer and Friday night when you're closing for prayer, would you... Sister Kathy, I guess, read that prayer covenant in closing.
I think I have it. If our Kathy can't grab it quickly, I can too.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay.
So, by the way, folks, tomorrow night I won't be at the show at all. We're going to have a Passover meal, Jewish style, there at my Shalom. So, all right.
Ooh.
So, Rita. Hello, Sister Rita.
Hello, Chaplain John.
All right. Would you like to pray, or do you want just a song?
I'll go ahead and pray.
Okay.
Can I have a song, too?
Yeah, Gigi, you might get boxed out here. So, but anyways, please. No. Go. That's all right. Go ahead. Go.
No, I'm not going to have a song. I'll just pray then.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Father, I thank you for today, Father. And Father, you are my refuge, my Savior, my Lord, and my God. You are my life, Father. You comfort me. You strengthen me. And I give you thanks for all this, Father. Thank you. And Father, Father, I pray for Larry, Father. I pray that you would protect him when he goes down to the abortion clinics in York City and Lancaster. And I pray that you will anoint what he says to the women that he comes across, and that you would open up the women's hearts, that they will repent, Father, for the evil deed that they're about to do, Father. I pray, Father, for the women that are going to be coming down to that clinic. And I pray, Father, that you give these women hearts of flesh and that they will repent from doing the evil deed that they're about to do, Father. And Father, I pray for these wives and his children that you would give them strength and heal their broken hearts, Father. Comfort their hearts, and that when they need strength, Father, that they will come to you and to your Son for strength, Father, and for comfort. And I pray, Father, for Bishop Reinhardt's orphans. I pray, Father, that you will heal their little hearts and that you will encourage them when they are sad, and that you would also wrap your arms around them, Father, when they are scared. Father, you have said in your word that when our mother and father forsake us, that you will take us up. And Father, that's what I'm asking for these little orphans, that you would take them up into your arms, and that when they come to the age of knowledge, that they will accept your Son as their Savior. I ask, Father, that Bishop Reinhardt will be able to provide food, clothing, water, and housing for these little children. And I pray, Father, that you will bless Bishop Reinhardt, strengthen him, and encourage him, Father. And I pray for Sharon, Father. I pray that you will heal her, strengthen her, and comfort her, Father. And I also ask that you bless Bobby for all that he does for his mother. And I also, I pray for Charles, Father. Haven't heard from Charles for a while. And I pray, Father, that if anything is wrong, that you will strengthen him and encourage him, and just take care of him, Father. And Father, I pray for Jack, that Susie's cousin down in Susie's cousin. I pray that you will that he will come to the saving knowledge of your Son, that you would soften his heart, and that you will encourage him, and that you would open up his eyes, Father, to the wages of sin. I pray, Father, that he'll turn to your Son and you, Father, as a Savior. I ask, Father, that you will bless everyone that is in YouTube, X, Rumble, and Uber, or Dialpad. I pray that you will strengthen us, encourage us, and comfort us, Father. I pray this all, Father, in the name of my Lord, my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Paula awesome. Jean is here. Paula Jean, hello. We've been a little concerned for you.
I had to stop my TV. I was watching you on TV.
Oh.
And I've been listening to you on TV while I've been doing income tax.
Okay.
But I've really enjoyed listening. And that's why you haven't heard from me till
All right. Well, I'm going to close in prayer. We're running out of time.
Well, so that's good for maybe, you. I'll be enjoying that.
Maybe we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Well, most likely.
Okay. Father, we thank you for this teaching tonight about fruit, Lord. And I ask that everyone in this ministry, Lord, everyone will bear much fruit, Lord, that it will be like straight as the tree, Lord, be good for shade, be very, very fruitful, Lord, not compromised. And the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, Lord, and how you love palm trees. They're in all throughout to the temple in your house, Lord. So we thank you. So I pray now that every single person involved in our ministry will be like flourish like the palm tree, bearing much fruit for you, being straight and upright, even in old age, Lord, bringing glory to your name, being righteous, Lord, because those trees are in your home, Lord, your house, and probably even in the Holy of Holies. So we want to be like those, the symbolism there with the palm, the date palm tree in us, Lord. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We praise you and thank you. What a connection between those fruit trees and us and righteousness, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We praise you and thank you now in Jesus' holy, holy, holy name. Amen and amen and amen. All right, I'm going to close. We want everybody. Oh, remember, tomorrow I won't. I'll be at a Passover dinner. I'm thinking Last Supper. I want to keep on saying Last Supper, but it's the connection with Passover. So I won't. I won't. But Thursday I'll be back. So God bless everyone, and hope to see everybody Thursday morning. And we'll close with this. They'll know we are Christians by our love.
We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. Side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. Father, from whom all things will come, and all praise to the Father, from whom all things will come, and all praise to Christ Jesus, his one and only Son, and all praise to the Spirit who makes us all as one. By our love, they will know we are Christians by our love. Oh, they will know we are Christians by our love.